12 of Sunday Night Live lined up for you. David Penn, who's an amazing political analyst and great advisor to Royce White, is going to be hosting. And I drafted these guys in, and David Penn loved the idea because they were are up there in Kentucky where this watershed referendum on foreign powers trying to control us and Israel trying to keep us in this war. Got Ivan Raiklin, former Defense Intelligence Agency, Green Beret, founder of the Oath Keepers, and former, you know, Ron Paul staffer and lawyer and all the rest of it, Stuart Rhodes. So much to cover tonight with you guys. David Penn, give us a quick foreshadowing. I'm going to turn the baton over to you guys of what's coming up tonight in the next 2 hours.
Well, good evening, Alex. We're going to be talking about what's going on up here in Minnesota, where Royce is running for Senate, and he's also facing a seal from the Seal brand. So that's very timely to be down in Representative Massey's backyard, dealing with that Seal connection started by Ray Zinke up in Montana.
And yeah, nothing against SEALs, but the CIA said when Trump first got in 9 years ago, we're going to tap the SEALs and special operations to get them. And they weren't very successful with the Green Berets. They were more successful with the SEALs to get them to join the CIA operation.
Yeah, and they're very active up here in Minnesota, and they're very sophisticated in what they're doing. It's really an insult to the citizens of Minnesota. We're seeking self-governance. We're not looking for empire here in Minnesota. We're fighting for self-governance along with you, Alex.
And that's what this is about.
I'm very interested to talk. Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead. That's what this referendum is in Kentucky. You'll have the floor. We're going to break in 3 minutes. We'll come right back with you hosting. Let's go to my old buddies. I'm talking about old buddy, Stuart Rhodes, back when we worked for Ron Paul. Ron Paul's, I can't come on, but I have Stuart Rhodes on. He's my main advisor on the police state. And then, of course, former political prisoner, and then Ivan Raiklin, Green Beret, Defense Intelligence Agency. Guys, what do you got for us coming up?
Yes, we're right. Alex, thanks for having us on. We're right outside of the event that's going to be taking place tomorrow, where apparently the Secretary of War is now being deployed into northern Kentucky to try to take out the last stand here in America First and the Liberty Movement. Oddly enough, it's at 2826 Terminal Drive in Hebron, Kentucky, and it's fitting that it's Terminal Drive because this is the terminal moment for the America Second crowd, where we are going to start to take the country back and the Republican Party back in order for it to become an American First.
No, I agree. I mean, when did you guys come back first address, when did Trump go sideways in life, or why? Because he's literally saying, I don't care about the average American's finances. I'm doing this for Israel. He said that on Fox News a few days ago. Stuart, what the hell's going on here? I know you've been a big Trump supporter. So have I. I'm not throwing baby out with the bathwater, but holy hell, what's going on?
I think he's been co-opted, obviously. Co-opted or he's sold out, frankly. And I still have a tattoo of him on my arm. I'm going to have to modify it pretty soon to reflect reality. That's a tattoo I got in prison with Trump on it. Of him, you know, raising his fist in Butler.
Rotate it over so we can see it. Put it up for the camera. Turn it around. Yeah, there you go. Wow. You go. Fight, yeah.
I got that while I was in prison. I went to prison for President Trump and for our country, and I believed in him. And I still do, but here's the thing is he has got to get back on track to serve this country, America First and America only. And right now he's just not doing that. Thomas Massie is. Mark Taylor Greene was also. Joe Kent is. And so they've corralled President Trump into abandoning his own campaign promises, his own pledge to the American people to drain the swamp and take the deep state down. And now he's turning on everybody who's staying true to
that. Now he says he's going to primary Boebert. All right, 1 minute break. You guys take over.
Hold up, Alex. We got to invite you out here. I know you like to travel. Why don't you come out here? Because let's face it, you have the biggest show that can completely supplant Fox News that's going to be covering the event tomorrow. We're going to be here live attending this 1 p.m. event where Pete Hegseth is going
to
be here.
All right, well, stay there. I'm going to come back to you guys, but the guest host, David Penn, is about to take over. But this idea that we should get Trump back on track, we're not abandoning the field, that's the whole point of this. Back in 60 seconds with David Penn hosting with Ivan Raiklin and Stuart Rhodes. Stay with us and share the live feeds now, Paul Revere's. The power's in your hands. Take action now. Share the feeds at Rohlfs Jones on X now.
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Yes, Alex. Yes. Ready you are.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, guest hosting tonight for Royce White. So glad to be with you. We have a very exciting night. It's the eve of the election. I've got great people on the ground with me from the scene. Ivan Ranklin and Stuart Rhodes. We're going to be talking about what's happening with the America First Movement. How are we going to wrest control of this country back into the hands of the people? This country is an experiment in human evolution, consciousness evolution. It's based on self-governance. Do you know, Ivan, and do you know, Stuart, that 535 members of Congress, each seat gets $7.5 million of lobbying money per year? Good evening to both of you gentlemen. Tonight the subject is AIPAC. What's going on the ground, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're kind of cutting out, but I'll just say this. Like Alex was saying earlier, this is a referendum on who owns this country. Is it we the people, or is it they the billionaires and they the Israeli lobby? That's just what it is. That's the fight. So this is the most important race for Congress right now, because you can see what they're doing. They think it's the most important race. That's why they're spending $20 million trying to defeat a good man that stood up for the Constitution. I work for Ron Paul, who's known as Dr. No. Thomas Massie is known as Mr. No for the exact same reason. He says no to foreign spending and aid to foreign governments, including Israel. He says no to extravagant spending that's destroying our dollar. He says no to spying on American people with FISA. He says no to protecting pedophiles. And that's the only beef. This is what's sad, is President Trump's own campaign promises are exactly that. And all it is Thomas Massie is being consistent, and President Trump is not. And for that sin of being consistent, he's being demonized.
Yeah, and I'm going to add to that and say that, you know, $20 million plus, I mean, we're probably going upwards of $25 million because they know they're going to lose. And the reason why they're going to lose is because they're pumping more and more money into a candidate that barely has a pulse. This gentleman can be, speaking of SEALs, this guy is apparently a former SEAL, Navy SEAL captain, apparently. He can barely formulate a phrase, let alone a sentence. And you're going to see that tomorrow. We're at the venue that he's going to be hosting, or I should say he's going to be attending an event. This guy, named, I call him Special Ed because his inability to communicate effectively, is going to be with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, who apparently should be focused on opening the Straits of Hormuz instead of conducting unlawful, hashtag-violating political activities in support of a person that's fully funded practically by the Israeli lobby. Why? In order to remove the only member of Congress that called on supporting the Constitution and giving and granting the president war powers constitutionally rather than through unconstitutional means, sure, in order to prosecute a war on behalf of Israel, as said by President Trump himself, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the Speaker of the House. All three of those said that they had to go to war in Iran on behalf of Israel. Their words, not mine.
And all Congressman Massey's saying is, let's have a vote in Congress. Congress is supposed to declare war. Let's at least have a vote on the War Powers Resolution so that we have, you know, a say in what's happening and take responsibility for it. And for that sin, he's now being targeted by the White House, by the establishment, and by the Israeli lobby, like we're talking about, $20 billion, unprecedented. The most expensive race for Congress in U.S. history.
All right, mostly Miriam's money.
Yeah.
Miriam Adelson.
And I don't care about him being a Navy SEAL. Dan Crenshaw was a Navy SEAL. He was a horrible sellout, disgrace to Texas. I'm from Texas. We know. Is the establishment.
You see, not only a disgrace to Texas, the whole country.
Right. Establishment shill who never saw a violation of our rights he wouldn't vote for. And this guy's going to be the exact same way. We don't care if it's a Navy SEAL. He will not debate Thomas Massie. He won't even talk to Thomas Massie in a forum. He's afraid to talk to him because he doesn't know the issues. He's just a stuffed shirt. Because he's a Navy SEAL, they think everyone's going to vote for him. Hey, we're both veterans. We respect veterans. But if you're not a constitutionalist, I don't care what you did in the military. You're going to violate your oath once you get into Congress. And he's already pledged. He's going to go in there and do whatever he's told. That's what he's pledged. So his oath is not going to be to defend the Constitution. His foreign domestic. It's to do whatever he's told.
Stuart, that's so important what you just said, that both of you are veterans, which gives you the credentials to make the comments that you're making about the SEALs. The problem we have here in Minnesota, and I'm sure it's where you are too, the average American citizen that's never been in a fist fight will take and project their denied courage upon these SEALs and give them a kind of status that they may or may not deserve. They may be a man of sacred honor. They may be a sellout like Dan Crenshaw. And of course, you gentlemen both know that subterfuge and lying is often a part of the war training. So we don't always get what we're bargaining for when we support the veterans without listening to what it is that they have to say. So, Stuart, Ivan, how's the race going down there? I mean, when I looked at the newspaper today, it seemed as if the SEAL was slightly ahead. What do you feel on the ground?
Well, we're having a hard time hearing you. I'll just say this. As veterans, I was a reconnaissance, airborne reconnaissance unit veteran. Ivan was Special Forces. We respect all our brothers and sisters that served. But the key point is that we all raise our hand and swear to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the most important thing. So whatever you did in service and whatever your training was, it's no excuse. Again, training and subterfuge, great. I'm sure Ivan had plenty of that kind of training, too. That's not really the point. The point is, do you keep your oath or not? If you're not going to keep your oath, then I don't care what you did. And so that's it's a little bit too much of the SEAL worship or special warfare worship. Hey, if you're special warfare, that's fantastic. But you have a higher obligation, I believe. Because of the respect that you get, because of the training you have a higher obligation to understand the Constitution and do what it says.
I'm just going to echo on that. It doesn't matter at this point. Once you're done with military service, like myself, like Stuart, I retired myself 25 years in, retired as a lieutenant colonel, whatever, great. But now that we're back in the community, it is incumbent on us men. We are responsible for ensuring that our Constitution is adhered to. And I don't care how big and strong and how much of a bully you are, I got my trusted partner here. We only expose the biggest bullies, those that are using their positions of power beyond what we granted them to, use that power for. And so in this instance, we are here standing up. I expect every veteran that's out there that's in the vicinity of the Cincinnati airport should be asking questions of, I respect SEAL service, but do you respect a SEAL that takes in $15, $20 million of foreign money? Last I checked, that's considered a foreign agent. Last I checked, as a lawyer as well, both of us, it requires a foreign agent registration. And if you don't conduct the foreign registration properly, then guess what? You get filed up to 5 years in prison. And not only that, last I checked, they think is you're a traitor, right? That's kind of treason when you're taking money in a time of war. Iran, Israel, America is in a war, right? That needs to be addressed. But our political class right now at the highest levels of both political parties is ignoring that. And luckily, we have a platform such as this show. We have X somewhat providing free speech platform and others to be able to call it out. And we can call it out in person like we're doing it here. And then we amplify it to millions and tens of millions of people that are now watching across the entire globe. I'm going to close with this. And this part is that yesterday we were at the campaign rally for Thomas Massie. You had international media there, BBC. You had the largest, I'm not sure if they still are, but a few years back, the largest newspaper distribution on the planet is a Japanese outfit called the Asahi Shimbun. And there was a reporter there interested in covering the story of this movement. This is the national I'm going to say this as many times as I can going into Tuesday. Thomas Massie is a national referendum on whether or not the Republican brand is going to remain Israel first, and in some aspect Israel only, or is it going to be Americans first? And maybe even go beyond that and focus on Americans only until we get our house in order. And then we can start talking about potentially working with allies throughout the globe.
And as the founder of Oath Keepers pledged to, remind men about their oath, I have a problem with a guy that says that when he goes into office, he's going to just follow orders. He's going to do whatever he's told, period, by the White House. that's not his oath. It's a serious problem.
I'm okay with him doing as he's told by the constituents of the Northern...
of the U.S. Constitution.
Fourth Congressional District in the U.S. Constitution.
The U.S. Constitution comes first. That's what the oath is. It's not even to do what your constituents want. It's to do what the Constitution demands. That's what your oath is. And so I want to know if the guy could even answer questions about the Constitution. Has he even read it? Does he even understand it? We don't know because he won't answer any questions.
Right. And he won't even debate. Eight times he's refused to debate. Not even like a forum, a friendly forum.
Yeah.
I just want to say in dealing with the SEALs, because we have this Adam Schwartzy from the SEAL brand running here in Minnesota, there are seven SEALs in the Congress. They run as a brand. They have one unifying factor. Every one of them is 100% supportive of U.S. adventurism in the Middle East in support of Israel. That would start with, for example, a recent new senator, Tim Sheehy from Montana, who was in his first term, and before he was even wet, you know, even before he was dried off, just out of the shower, he was already doing video ads for AIPAC, and I think he's taken about $600,000 in cash from that organization. This cash that's banging around in our system is so perverse. It's so unfair to the American people. We have allegedly a kind of governance where it's of the people, by the people, and for the people. But, of course, it's by the cash, for the cash, and all about the cash. So if you got the cash, you buy the government that you want. We have elections, can't pass the SAVE Act, but we pass the cryptocurrency acts. No, we can't secure the elections. We're not even sure what's going on with the elections. We go to the polls, we work, we knock on doors, we do everything we can, and these people go to the Congress, and almost all of them take votes that have nothing to do with how they advertise themselves when we voted for them. Thomas Massie seems to be a man who ran on a platform, made promises to his constituents, and kept those promises up until this very day. And what I'm looking for in my elected representatives, the fundamental building block that I want to see restored in politics, is honesty. I don't think we can rebuild this republic on a heap of lies. I think we need honesty as the fundamental building block of our politics going forward. Now, gentlemen, when you're there on the ground, are you still with me? Can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Maybe we've lost Stuart and Ivan. I think we have. The connection was not very good. I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to improvise. And if we get them back, in the control room, please let me know. I'd love to hear from them. This is a big deal. We're having a big election. This is a referendum. And let me just say something to everybody that is so about winning. And if they don't win, they quit. What kind of sportsman are you? The idea is to win more than you lose. Sometimes you lose. But in politics, the beautiful thing about politics, when you have a referendum of this magnitude, it's the opportunity to educate, to persuade. We don't have to win this election. It'd be great if we did. But if the people want to regain control of our government, it's the process that matters. It's the continuous getting on the soapbox and telling the truth. Up here in Minnesota, and I know you would be expecting to see Royce White here tonight, he's out working with young men, turning young athletes into productive members of our society, being America's coach. When Royce is running, he's teaching. He tells the truth. He doesn't tell the audience what he thinks they want to hear. He tells them what he thinks is true and right and good. And I noticed that up here in Minnesota, we got two very establishment-type candidates running for Senate against Royce. One is the relatively well-known Michelle Tafoya, a sideline reporter of NFL fame. She's been around a long time. And when I did the Apple research on her, I found out that she was anti-President Trump, pro-immigration, or at least willing to do some workarounds in immigration, and she supported red flag laws. In other words, she was interested in curtailing my Second Amendment rights. And I looked at that, and I downloaded a bunch of her videos where she was talking about those issues, and I played them on the Professor Penn podcast, which we broadcast here at Free People Radio. Free People Radio is a studio here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the belly of the beast. Please go to freepeopleradio.com. That's freepeopleradio.com. That's where Royce and I do our hack into the matrix, so to speak, 7 days a week. I went back to look for those same clips. They're gone. They're gone. They've disappeared. How could that be possible? That takes some juice. Well, of course she has that juice. She's the hand-picked candidate of the National Republican Senatorial Committee led by the Rhino Tim Scott, who works with the Rhino John Thune. These are the people that could pass the Genius Act about cryptocurrency, in other words, digital currency, but they couldn't bring for a vote the SAVE Act to secure the elections for the American people. That's who we got running the show, and that's their candidate, Michelle Tafoya. Oh, she's so nice, and she's so sweet, and she's so empathetic. And when she speaks in platitudes. She says nothing. She says blah, blah. She's the blah, blah candidate. Her campaign logo is purple. It's not red. If you go to her website, it doesn't say Republican any place on her website. She is the product of the pro-choice Republicans because she is a pro-choice Republican. And I have to ask myself, a pro-choice Republican, pro-choice, okay, great. What are you conserving? The reason I am in the Republican Party, the reason I'm an officer in the Republican Party is because I think there are ideas worth conserving. Let me give you one. A creator that granted me unalienable rights. That would be a pretty important idea to conserve. But when you start pulling out the load-bearing walls of faith, you end up with communism and Marxism and Nazism and transgenderism. All the isms come when you remove the load-bearing walls of faith. So here I am up here in Minnesota, political activist, working at Free People Radio with Royce, in the streets, watching what the establishment is doing to stop Royce White. Royce, as you know, got the endorsement of the Republican Party in the 2024 cycle. He was running for Senate in that cycle. And no sooner did he win the endorsement from the delegates, yes, on the first ballot, yes, to overwhelming applause and accolades, the rhinos of the party, and I'm just going to name a name for just because it's appropriate to what's going on in Kentucky, led by Norm Coleman, who is the president right now of the Republican Jewish Committee, one of the primary supporters of Israel here politically, and then Senator Rudy Boschwitz, another primary supporter of globalism and Israel, the two stalwarts here in Minnesota. And yes, they're both Jewish, but that's not the issue. They're Jewish ethnically. Their politics is Zionism. And let me make a distinction for the people that have anti-Semitic feelings. There are about 10 to 15% of the Jews in this world that are opposed to the nation state of Israel. You're looking at one of them. Why? Because we believe in God. That's why. Now, that's not to say that other people wouldn't claim to believe in God. But if you believe in God to the way back, you believe that the Jewish people were expelled from the Holy Land for sexual immorality, for worshiping false gods, and for murder, and that they were dispersed throughout the world. And for 1,850 years, Jewish people all over the world had an oath that they took, and that oath was that the Jewish people would not return en masse as a wall to the Holy Land, that we would blend into the countries that we lived in, that we would support the countries that we lived in, and that we would atone for the sins of murder and sexual immorality and worshiping false gods through prayer and study and charity. In other words, we'd keep our head down until the Messiah came. And somehow, associated with the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, the movement to the cities, the desire to throw off the shackles of the hereditary rulers of Europe and the tyrannical rule of the rulers with the church, these people gave birth to all kinds of isms: Bolshevism, communism, Nazism, scientism, you name it, the isms. It's like a bad band. And these people gave up the faith of their fathers, and many of them became Marxists and Bolsheviks, and many of them made their way to Israel. Not my grandfather. My grandfather chose to come here by choice to do what? Practice religious freedom and economic freedom. And hit my grandmother said to me, "My son, you're in America. Love this country. Be an American." And I did it. And I'm so proud of my country that has given me the freedom to live my life and to find my way to be with here, to be with you here tonight. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to be back very soon. This is David Penn, your host, filling in the night for Royce White. We'll be back right after these commercial announcements.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and We have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, "Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?" And I say, "Are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them." And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, "Wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works." And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently, slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Okay, welcome back to Sunday Night Live, where we're working through some technical difficulties. Thank God for the new Alex Jones Network. What a badass play that was. Alex, I love you, brother. You took those people across the tumbleweed of time. They've expended so much energy. They thought they had you in the supine position. And just like you said it would be, oh, they've made you greater and more powerful than you could have ever been without their machinations. But of course, we're working out the technology of a new studio. We'll get it right. Everybody's trying to get it right, and I hope you're all with me. Let me just say, following up on that last segment, I do not want to see a Holocaust of the Jewish people in the modern era. My family's experience was not unlike many other millions of people. Let's say there was a family of six brothers. First of all, these people were poor. Poor, poor, poor. I'm not talking about the German Jews that lived in Berlin. I'm talking about the poor people that lived in Eastern Europe. If there were six brothers, two of them gave up the faith, became Marxists, and they probably moved to Palestine, where they picked up arms, funded those arms were by the Rothschilds. Yes, that's correct. That project was a British imperial project. It was the project of using immigration as a political weapon. Oh, the British Empire is good at that. They practiced it. They succeeded. They took a population of about 5% Jewish in 1905, and by 1948, hey, they had enough Jews to take the country over. That takes some skill. And the Rothschilds spent the equivalent of $1 billion U.S. dollars relocating those Marxists, and they were Marxists. The original State of Israel was a socialist enterprise. And those two brothers went there and picked up arms, and that's where their children live to this very day. Two of the brothers found a way to legally enter the United States of America. Because of the immigration laws at that time, they perhaps had to move to Canada or England first and live for many years before they made their way into the United States of America. The immigration laws of this country were very restrictive up until, guess who? Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1965 signed the immigration law, which governs the nightmare that we're living through right now today here in modern 2026 United States of America. Yeah, that's right. The dark Sith Lord, Lyndon Johnson. So two of the brothers made it to the United States, like my grandfather. But the two that stayed home, they died. They died, and they died ugly. They were murdered. And I don't want to see another murder. But I'll tell you what I also don't want to see. I don't want to see my country collapse. I don't want to see my currency collapse. I don't want to see my children sent off to fight in a war, which really brings no benefit to me. See, we got a big gap here now, a big gap between what's good for the people of this country, the everyday people that are just trying to live their lives, and the oligarchs and the technocrats who rule over us. And why do they rule over us? They're not supposed to rule over us. We're in America, after all. This is about self-governance. And the reason they're ruling over us is we're not doing our job. We the people. Now, this audience, this is a pretty enlightened audience. The consciousness of this audience is pretty evolved. We know what's going on. We see the technocracy coming. We see the data centers getting built, like Operation Matador down in Amarillo, Texas, where the Rick Perry and his son are primary stockholders. That'd be the former Department of Energy head, former governor of Texas. Alex knows his name, probably knows him personal. Rick Perry and his son. You know how big this data center is? The building is 5 miles by 5 miles. That data center is going to consume more energy than all the residential housing stock in the great state of Texas. It's going to consume more energy than 28 individual U.S. states. It's going to consume so much energy that there's going to be two nuclear reactors put close by, I assume, on a military site, because President Trump signed an executive order to expedite the production and the deployment of nuclear technology to power the data centers, these AI centers. There's another one that just got approved within the last couple of weeks in Utah. The primary stockholder is the repulsive Kevin Leary, Mr. Wonderful. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't see any reason to be an ass. He seems to enjoy it. I don't. Maybe that's because I'm a Christian. I want to love my neighbor as I wish to be loved. Maybe that's not in his lexicon. You know, we got a lot of people that profess that they believe in God. What an easy thing to say. I believe in God. What do you do with your belief in God? Are you working to put sin underfoot, like pride, the bottom of the barrel of all the deadly sins? No, humility is very critical. And I watched him brag about this new data center he's driving up in Utah. It's bigger than the city of Manhattan. How could this be? What are they doing with these data centers? Oh, I asked myself, what are they doing? Oh my. This is certainly going to be good for me, isn't it? Now, I have to say, as regards President Trump, because I'm a political activist, I'm actually in the game, I'm playing. And I've learned to be slow to judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. And I recognize that many people believe he sold out, and he very well may have. But do you know that he left a letter with Vice President Vance to be opened in the event of his assassination? What principalities and powers does President Trump wake up and face every day? What workarounds is he coming around to try to deal with the hand that he's been dealt? What hand was he dealt? He was dealt a hand. We all know this in this audience. He was dealt a hand that the United States was going to be subordinated to one world governance. People were talking about this for 100 years. I heard Alex say this past week that 30 years ago when Alex started broadcasting, maybe 1% knew about the plans for global governance. And now, Alex said, maybe half the American citizens have figured it out, that we're winning. And we're winning the war of ideas. That's why each skirmish, like this deal down in Kentucky, win or lose, we're moving the ball up the field. And I want to give that grace to President Trump. If it turns out he was a sellout, that will be written in the books of history. And I have to say, when a man has an anointing and does the miraculous, I remember there's a great clip, you can look it up on YouTube. Mike Tyson is talking about the devil doesn't waste any time with the lukewarm. The devil spends his time with those that can move the needle. And who's moved the needle more than President Trump in our lifetime? Remember when he came down that elevator? 2015? Where we were at? What we believed? And how we become so aware of globalism and its dangers, what we've been through together as a community. This trip to China, is indicative of the changes. Remember in the first presidency, the 45th presidency, how strident President Trump was about China, how he confronted China, how he was continuously bringing to the American people's attention the dangers of the Chinese Communist Party, China. Just like he brought to our attention the dangers of the U.S. media, the enemy of the people. When he would say these things, people were stunned. It rattled people's sensitivities and their sensibilities. They weren't used to this kind of plain talk. The kind of plain talk I hear from Royce White up here in Minnesota. It's not always correct. It's not always constitutional. We're coloring outside the lines. And the reason we are is inside the lines is controlled by tremendous institutions like the U.S. Department of War, which is going to get $1.5 trillion just this next year in the next defense authorization budget. All of the defense contractors, the medical industrial establishment, which is really a disease creation and disease management strategy, the universities that are funded, that are part of this scam, the entertainment business, that media I was talking about. How about all the NGOs here in Minnesota? You heard the story. As much as $20 billion disappeared on a $60 billion state budget. Where did it go? It went to non-governmental organizations, charities. Oh, doesn't that sound wonderful? Charities, the Little Sisters of the Poor. Like we got Lutheran Social Services with the $262 million budget. The chief executive makes a cool $500,000 a year. Any of you out there making the $500,000 a year? And what do they do? And how do they do it? They're government funded, and that's the organization, and Catholic Social Services and Jewish Social Services. They are the organizations that have made Minnesota an immigration hub, changing the nature of our state here in Minnesota. And then we get a candidate like Michelle Tafoya that speaks fondly about the Dignity Act. She's willing to do a workaround. She talks about deporting fraudsters to soften it up. It's a psyop. When we've got people screaming for the deportation of 15 or 20 million people that are here illegally, undermining the very rule of law that these people on Fox News tell us all the time that we have to keep, rule of law. So we're coloring outside the lines. Yeah, you can criticize Royce White. You can criticize President Trump. Some of the things that get said and done rattle the sensitivity. They rattle the sensibility. But the point is to move the dialogue ahead. This is about human consciousness. It's not about taking a vote that's probably not fair. I know it's not fair, at least from my perspective, here in Minnesota. Minnesota is one of the 26 states in this country that has what's called automatic voter registration. What does that mean? If you're in a southern state, you maybe never heard of it. It means that when I go to get my driver's license renewed, I am automatically registered to vote. That's something the Democrats put into play here when they had full control of the Minnesota state government. But let me give you a blast. Here's what they also put into play. Illegal aliens get Minnesota state driver's licenses. I'm going to say it again because it's so stunning. In Minnesota, an illegal alien can get a Minnesota state driver's license. And when that bill was being debated, every law enforcement group in the state supported it. Boy, my head scratched on that one. But then if you think about it, where does their money come from? See, we got a racket working up here in Minnesota, and we got a racket working in most of the states in this country. We got a racket working even in the Republican states. We got a racket working everywhere. And I'll tell you why that racket's working. Because we don't self-govern. That's right. Self-governance is not about going to vote every 2 years. Self-governance is infinite. I went this weekend and I bought ingredients to make my own home laundry detergent. Self-governance. Why do I got to go down to Costco and buy a big jug of plastic, which is never going to degrade, and put a bunch of probably toxic chemicals on my clothes that then sit close to my body, poisoning me? Do I want to do that? Even on the chance, see, I'm a business person, and let me tell you, if you'd like to support Free People Radio, please go on over to freepeopleradio.com. We'd like to break even in this deal. We got a beautiful website. Royce and I are doing a 5-day-a-week morning show, 7 to 9 a.m. 5 days a week, 7 to 9 a.m. on Rumble. Go to Rumble at 7 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. Find Free People Radio and please join our community. Go to freepeopleradio.com. We are trying to build a political community. Now, there's a lot of people that do this broadcasting thing because they got some kind of narcissistic need to be in the public eye. That's not me. I'm going to tell you, I was called to do this work. I was prepared from the time I was a child. I speak Hebrew. I read the Bible in Hebrew. I studied Hebrew. I prayed in the old ways for years. I was what you would call a religious Jew for quite a period of time in my life. And then, like so many people, I was converted to belief in Christ on the bed of sickness. Yeah, I was a badass in my 20s. I was bad, bad to the bone. One might say I was on the highway to hell. I got sick. And when that knife cut in my neck to biopsy that tumor, I was not unconscious. I had a little local anesthetic. I was 29 years old. I was terrified. I had a 3-month-old baby girl out in the waiting room. And that knife came into my neck, and I was so scared. And Christ appeared to me. And let me tell you, as a Jewish man, it disturbed me. I was freaked out. What is this? But when Christ comes into your life, cannot be denied. And Christ needs to come into everyone's life. And there's a very simple way to make it happen. It's actually in Mark and Matthew and Luke. John, if you'd like to read those books. See, this is what they say. I believe in God. What you doing to exercise your belief? You know, it's exercise. Like going to the gym every day. You want to be in good shape, you got to work out. Faith is like a muscle. You got to exercise it. You got to want to have a relationship with God. You got to knock on that door. Knock, knock, knock. Please let me in. Now, I was knocking. I just didn't know Jesus Christ was going to show up to answer it. And when Jesus Christ showed up, here's what he said to me. I will restore your body whole for my work and your enjoyment. And the work is saving the Republic of the United States of America. So I'm in the Republican Party, and I hang around with a lot of people I don't like and don't like me. And I didn't go in that way. I didn't go in not to like them. I thought I was entering the Republican Party. Naive, huh? Stupid, huh? I thought we all had a similar viewpoint. I didn't know that up here in Minnesota, we had a lot of hippies that believed in sex outside of marriage and drugs and rock and roll and abortion. God forbid they'd have to have real faith. They're going to the doctor twice a year. No, they joined the Republican Party because they wanted to have low taxes. That makes them materialists. Yeah, that's right, materialists. That's over on the Democrat side of the football. That's where the materialists are. Everything about the Democrat is about the money. Those are the takers. Those are the people on the take. We on the Republican side of the football, we're the givers. But we got a lot of people in the Republican Party that are taken. And one of them went down, thank God. Bill Cassidy, I've been watching that guy for years. In fact, on my local Republican committee, one of his political operatives showed up, moved from Louisiana up to Minnesota, and showed up on my local committee. And I thought to myself, whoa, we're going to have to get rid of this dude. Because he doesn't believe. You know, because they're doctors or lawyers, they're educated. Because they're SEALs, they're highly trained. Because they're priests. I'll go back to what Mike Tyson said. The devil is going to put his time on those that are trying to do something in this world. And unless we're willing to put sin underfoot, I mean really put it underfoot, the channel gets clogged up. Can't hear clearly. You know, God said, I'm going to send you a comforter. You're going to have a still small voice in your heart. How can you hear that voice when you're looking to see what you can get out of the deal? Like lust. Boy, I bet you I can get some fun out of this deal. Or greed. Or pride, arrogance. These are all taking things. We're taking. We can't hear God's voice when we're taking. We hear God's voice when we're giving. And that's why there's a new covenant of forgiving of sins. But we got to think about how's that supposed to work? Forgiving? How about giving for? Let me say it one more time. The new covenant is about forgiving of sins. But what's on our side? Yes, how lucky am I that, unworthy as I am and everything that I've done, I've been redeemed and forgiven. But how did I get there? I gave my life over to saving this republic. And why did I do that? Because of that founding document. Unalienable rights granted by a creator, that's what I'm fighting for. I'm not fighting for low taxes. I'm not fighting for low regulation. I'm fighting for the right to believe. The reason my grandfather came here instead of going to Palestine. He could have gone to Palestine. He knew what the deal was. No, he came here for freedom. And my grandmother told me to be an American. And I love my grandmother, and she raised me, and I listened to her. And when God gave me the chance to serve him for his work, took me many years to get it together, but I've got it together, and so can you. And the first step is to want to have a relationship with God. The second step is to start putting sin underfoot. You know what it is you're doing that's not good for you. And you're powerless over it. That's why it's sin. You don't have any power over it. You ever notice it keeps coming back? There's a great scripture, a dog will return to its own vomit. Ooh, ooh, that really sums it up. And for men, ooh, we know what it is. How are you going to knock that off? You got to ask God for help, just like an alcoholic. You got to realize you're powerless over supernatural affliction. And when you're willing to let go and let God, I mean, really walk by faith and not by sight, now you're onto something. And we need tens of millions of us to come together in this effort, because we're fighting an edifice of materialism and scientism and communism and socialism that has its roots so deep into the institutions of our country that it's going to take a supernatural effort to root it out. And it's right in the good book. If I only had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, I could cast a mountain into the ocean. Well, that seems like a lot when you think of a mountain. But when you think of the edifice of evil that's in control of this country and the progress we're making in getting people woke up, when enough of us wake up, oh, those folks, their time is going to be done. This is David Penn, your guest host tonight on Sunday Night Live. I'm so glad to be with you, and I'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your host. Glad to be with you. Thank you to Alex and Daria. We're excited here, working our way through these tech challenges in this new AJ network, badass to the max. We're going to go get them. We're going to beat these people, and we're going to beat them by telling the truth. That's how we're going to beat them. We're not going to beat them by telling lies, by accepting anything less. This is the way politics has been in this country for many, many, many years. In fact, it goes actually all the way back to the way back. Thomas Jefferson famously said his greatest fear was about God's wrath and how long God could restrain his wrath. And that's back at the founding of this country. Think how far we've fallen since then and the patience God has with us. You know, nobody said we had to be perfect, But we better start trying. We better start coming together. We better start having some faith in what we're doing here. You know, there's been days where Alex has been on live, and I've been listening to him in the morning as I get ready to go to work. And I'm in the shower, and sometimes I'll hear that small voice in the shower, and I'll say the prayer. God will say, say this prayer. And I'll say the prayer. Word for word, God will say, say this, say that. And I say it, and I say, thank you, Lord. And then I get out of the shower, and I'm listening to Alex, and he said the same exact prayer, word for word. I'm thinking to myself, that's community. That's how we need to come together. We all got to get jacked into the same transmission, and we got to have some courage. And the more of us that get involved in this, the more courageous we're all going to become. Now, politics is important. It's not the only part of self-governance. It might be the least important part of it. Growing your own food. I was out this morning. I was watching my wife. She was planting in the garden, getting the vegetables planted for this year. Self-governance is not a kidding around thing. Knowing how to shoot matters. And if you're a man, hey, there's nothing wrong with washing your own clothes and cooking your own food. What, are you taking slaves? Yes, I know it says you'll cleave onto your husband and he'll rule over you. But when it said rule over her, it didn't say be a dictator. It didn't say take slaves. Yeah, people are pissed off. We haven't been treating each other very well. You know that great commandment, love your neighbor as you wish to be loved? It's a good place to start for self-governance. It's a catch-all. But for the political part, I would like you all to go to theprecinctstrategy.com. We have to take back this Republican Party. It is still, to this day, controlled by the rhinos. Yeah, we got rid of Bill Cassidy down in Louisiana. President Trump helped on that one. We got rhinos everywhere. Maybe that has something to do with why President Trump does some of the things we don't understand. Who's got his back? Are you in the streets? Are you joining your local political party? Are you working with Republicans in your neighborhood? Do you know the low propensity Republican voters that are your neighbors? Are you going to drag them to the polls to make sure we win this next midterm election? Are we going to clip out these rhinos in the primaries? Do we know how this game works? Well, we better learn. And if you please come on over to freepeopleradio.com and see me 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to work on. We're going to work it and work it and work it until we're one connected army of U.S. citizens taking this country back. David Penn, your host. I'll be right back with you after these commercials.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your host tonight. So glad to be with you. Going to change it up a little bit, talk about red lines. Red lines. Kind of appropriate considering that the CCP's favorite color is red. President Trump's just back from visiting Xi Jinping in Beijing. I know a little bit about this subject. A lot of people that comment on China. I've never been there, which I find kind of laughable. I've been there over 100 times. You're going to say, well, how could that be? Well, that would be because I am what would be termed a reformed globalist. And when I say I'm reformed, I stopped cold turkey because I recognized what I was doing was not good for my fellow citizens because I actually believe in treating my neighbor as I wish to be treated myself. But it doesn't mean I didn't learn a lot about China and all those trips there. And that banquet, any of you saw that banquet? It was broadcast live. Man, President Xi Jinping put down a heavy Chinese insult on we the people and on Donald Trump. He sat there so imperiously and he bragged that China was a 5,000-year-old culture. And then he said, happy birthday on your 250th. Now, I don't know if President Trump knew it. I suspect he probably did. But I knew right away it was an insult. You know, the Chinese are not actually very polite. They're not very polite people. They can be very kind. They can be very smart. They're very hardworking. And they are radical materialists. Now, they had religion there. They did. In fact, China was colonized just like the United States of America. The British Empire brutalized China. Brutalized it. Brutalized it. Several wars addicted the country to opium. You know why they did that? To balance the trade. Yeah, they had trade imbalances even back then. They dug a canal, the British did with the French, called the Suez Canal, just to get the ill-gotten gains of the Orient back to jolly old England a little quicker. That's what you call a downright takedown, right? When you're robbing and stealing so much, you got to shorten the getaway. That's pretty badass too, isn't it? No, the British rolled on into China and did unspeakable things to the Chinese, weakened that country, and the country had had 500 years of civil war. So with their 5,000 years of tradition, they haven't had it together. You know, you look out in our streets, we got right versus left. We got Democrats and Republicans. We got man versus women, white versus black, young versus old. We hate each other. And quite frankly, a lot of us hate ourselves. And from my perspective, that's the British business model. That's that old divide and conquer so you can rule on the cheap deal. No, the Chinese had to wrest back their country from colonialism. And because they are radical materialists, because they are communists, what is communism to me? I know to many people, they say, well, it's an economic strategy. And having been to China, I'm going to tell you, that's not true. Those folks have a much more, quote unquote, money-making society than we do. Man, the poorest Chinese got money. They're hardcore savers. Their families are intact, and I'll tell you why. There's no social safety nets. Yeah, that's right. There's no Social Security over there. There's no Medicare. There's no Medicaid. That does not exist. Baby, in China, it's cash on the dash or die in the waiting room. I've seen it with my own eyes. People hate doctors in China. Because it's a racket and everybody knows it. Not like here, you know, where these guys wear these white coats with the stethoscopes and everybody goes, oh, we respect you. You know, Bill Cassidy in Louisiana, he was a doctor. That's how he became a senator. Like a SEAL. Just because someone's a SEAL does not mean they have sacred honor. Just means that they were a SEAL. They might have sacred honor, but it's not a guarantee. There's good and bad in every group. We can't broad brush any group. We got to be discriminating. Who believes, who doesn't believe? Who's with us, who's not with us? And the people that are not with us, can we convince them? Because look where this movement was 30 years ago when Alex was standing out in the rain by himself with a megaphone. No, no, we're making a lot of progress. The Chinese were colonized, and then they were conquered by the Japanese. Yes, the Chinese were our allies in World War II. The United States of America freed the Chinese from Japanese occupation. That's what we did. We were allies. How did we end up being enemies? Well, under Truman, the Chinese Communist Party, led by Mao Zedong, defeated the nationalists, the KMT, led by General Chiang Kai-shek. There just wasn't the willingness to put the troops on the ground to defend the Kuomintang. And after World War II, there was a moment of real sincerity. Roosevelt had put Churchill underfoot. Roosevelt said, hey, Winston, you're going to have to forswear the empire or we're not going to have your back. You can go have what fur with the Germans by yourself. Or sign right here on this Atlantic Charter where it says all people need to determine their own politics. And Winston, under the pressure of Nazism, said, okay, I'll sign. But he really didn't mean it. He really didn't mean it. The British had taken Hong Kong from the Chinese in an opium war. Hong Kong, very profitable business for the British. Very, very profitable. Drugs went into China and finished goods came out. It's the same China business we're enjoying down at Walmart and Costco today. It's been going on for a long time. A handful of people get real rich and everybody else gets poor. That's the game. And after World War II, in spite of what President Roosevelt had demanded of Churchill, and even though the Japanese had taken Hong Kong from the British, they returned. They didn't even ask first. They just went back. They just steamed right into the bay there and set up shop again. The Japanese that were there surrendered because, of course, they were cut off. The war was over. And the United States government said, oh, what the hell? What can we really do about it now? We got to get along with the British. It's the post-war period. And the British hung out there until 1997. And the number one goal of the Chinese was to get back Hong Kong until 97. And they finally succeeded. Even though Maggie Thatcher tried, she huffed and she puffed, but they just didn't have the juice to hold on to Hong Kong. And as soon as Hong Kong was back in Chinese hands, all the attention turned on to Taiwan. And how did Taiwan become an issue? Well, let me tell you how. There was a civil war in China after World War. Well, actually, it was going on before World War II. Chiang Kai-shek and Mao fought a very long and bloody civil war. They only united to fight against the Japanese. And in 1949, Mao defeated Chiang Kai-shek. And you know what they did? With American support, American logistics, about 2 million Han Chinese boogied on down to what was called Formosa, killed 10,000 of the locals the first day they got there, and they set up the government of Taiwan, which they considered was the government of China, offshore, a government in exile, so to speak. And they set it up as a dictatorship. And the United States, from that first day, guaranteed the autonomy of Taiwan. So here we have a colonialized country, the Chinese, with no religion. And if there's no religion, if there's no salvation and no redemption, if there's no forgive others so that I might be forgiven, if there's no mechanism of forgiveness, those Chinese remember those slights those insults, those incursions into their politics by foreign colonial invaders, as if it was yesterday. If you ask yourself, why are the Chinese flooding our country with fentanyl? It's called payback. Many an American fortune was made in the opium trade. Some big names. Go to Wikipedia, look it up for yourself. You know, when I say things on here because I'm a political activist, I understand how important it is for you to do your own research. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to point you in the direction of where you can get your own information. Because then you're not a parrot, you're a prophet of your own truth. It's very important that we all take the time to do our own research. But you can go to China on a vacation and you could talk to the man in the street. And the man in the street's going to tell you they don't want war. They think Americans are lazy, fat, and stupid because we didn't protect our country from China. We didn't protect it. President Trump said that many times. He doesn't blame the Chinese. He blames our leaders because our leaders, going back to Kissinger and Brzezinski, had some kind of notion that it was all going to be one happy world government. And we got, you know, we the people, represented by those people, those professors, and they didn't understand who they were dealing with. I mean, those Chinese people are hardcore. They're tough. Not like a Harvard graduate. Harvard grad. Huh. Come on. Those people in the Democrat Party that went over there during the Biden administration and the Obama administration to negotiate with the Chinese, that was a joke. They got played. The Chinese got the first thing they wanted, which was Hong Kong. Then they wanted to get access to the world so that they could flood the world with low-cost goods and take over economically. And they did it. They were allowed into the World Trade Organization by Clinton and Bush, the W. And they went about their business undermining everything, undercutting everything, using cheap labor and no regulation to undercut American and European manufacturers. And man, have they bitten off a big piece of the pie. Now, their story is they deserve it because there's 1.5 billion of them. And my statement is, hey, you know what? That's your problem, how many people you got. My issue is, how are we doing as the American people? Does everybody here got a chance in this country to have a good economic life? You know, we Republicans, we believe that we're kings and queens of our own country, of our own lives. We're sovereign citizens. That's the cornerstone of Republicanism, citizen sovereignty. I'm a king of my own life. But as a king of my own life, I love my neighbor as I wish to be loved. I am participating in civic life. I'm in the Republican Party. I'm doing the deal. I'm here working with you tonight, talking to you, trying to convince you to do the same thing, get involved in politics. We need you on the ramparts. It's not going to happen without you. But Republicans believe in the commonwealth, not communism, commonwealth, that the rules of the game are set so anybody that wants to can be a giver. We don't want takers. We want to have a nation of givers. Remember what President Kennedy said? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he was a Democrat. Look at how much things have changed since that day in November in 63 when he was shot. I saw it with my own eyes. Watched Oswald shot with my own eyes. Watched Lyndon Baines Johnson, the dark Sith Lord, sworn into office with my own eyes. I remember it like it was yesterday. That Vietnam War, that was a war against the Chinese. Korean War, war against the Chinese. We just don't think about it that way. Those were called proxy wars. And when that war ended in 49, and Truman didn't stand up for the Chinese people that wanted to have a republic, and communism descended on China, those 2 million Han Chinese that went down to Taiwan and set up shop. As far as the Chinese people are concerned, those are heretics, apostates. You ask any time I ask the Chinese person what to do with Taiwan, if they wanted to declare independence, I always got the same answer. Turn it into a parking lot. And I have to ask myself, what is my government doing over there defending Taiwan? Why am I funding the vestiges of the British colonial empire? Why am I doing it? Let me tell you why I'm doing it. Because a small group of people in this country, small, own the defense industry. They own the research. They own the means of production for the weapons of war. Or they work in the military. Or they're retired military. Or they work in the VA. And I'm not knocking any veterans. I'm just saying this is how the game is played. President Trump has proposed a budget next year for the military of $1.5 trillion. The number's inconceivable. And how does that money work? The profit goes to a handful of people, and the costs are borne by every American citizen. What kind of scam is that? I'm not getting any benefits. I'm just getting the cost. And I know it's been hard-baked into our psyche as Americans when the planes fly over the football stadiums every Sunday, how important our military is. And it is important. We live in a world with lots of bad people. But that conflict between Taiwan and China, it's a lot like a domestic. And if you know any first responders, they're going to tell you, they don't like that call. Things can really get out of control when it's a domestic call. There's hatred there, family hatred. And what China's been trying to do is net the two countries together with commerce, with marriage. There's a kind of a status quo there. But there's always the chance of instability. And that's what this trip was about, restoring stability. So what did President Xi said? The red line is Taiwan. And why do we care? And we care because these high technology chips that are used in the AI takeover are made 80% in Taiwan. I'm going to give you a blast. There's broad bipartisan support for bringing that chip manufacturing capability back into the United States. Yes. Under the reviled, sleepy Joe Biden administration, there was a legislation passed called the CHIP Act. And that CHIP Act funded the build-out of a domestic chip manufacturing business here in the United States. Why did that happen? Because of the 45th presidency. Because we don't have to see an exact win from every effort. Politics is like plowing dirt. You just keep plowing until something pushes back on you. And we've made so much progress about restoring manufacturing here in the United States that it's now seeped into the consciousness of the American people. We don't think it's just, you know, axiomatic that everything gets shipped overseas. No, we want it back here. And there are industries that there is broad bipartisan support to bring them back into the United States. Chips is one. Automobiles is another. Steel and aluminum is a third. Pharmaceuticals. Shipbuilding. These are critical industries to strengthen the United States of America. So when President Trump heard that insult, that, hey, I'm 5,000 years old and you still got diapers on, he didn't have to get upset. Because when President Xi brags about stability, what he's really saying is, we've given up creativity. Hey, we're not very stable over here. We got a lot of things to work out. But creativity still lives in the minds and hearts of the American people. And we are beating these folks in the fourth industrial revolution. And when President Trump rolled in with all of these business leaders, he was telling them, hey, boys, time to cut a deal. So that's my read of it. I don't think it was a position of weakness at that meeting. I think it was a position of strength. And when a Chinese person has to go so far as to hurl an insult, that's a sign of weakness. And the fact that they had to draw a red line, it's almost like just a ritual, because once that chip building capability is in Arizona where they're putting it, what good is Taiwan to you and me? Do we want to go fight a war 9,500 miles away, as President Trump said? No, we got problems here. We got problems in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our state houses. We're so divided and so gapped out. The fundamental building block of our country, the relationship between men and women, is shattered. Shattered with the family court parasitizing men in all 50 states. And by the way, that's a model that started right here in Minnesota, right here in the belly of the beast. That's why I'm going to ask you to go to freepeopleradio.com and get familiar with what Royce and I are doing here in Minnesota. You know, Alex has got an international ministry, international. And God bless him for everything he's done. And I've learned a lot listening to him. But there's got to be people that do the work in the neighborhood. Politics is about your neighborhood. The hatred is in your neighborhood. Verily, let me say, the hatred may be in your house. As it says in Matthew 10:34, the enemies that you might face will be members of your own household. We've got work to do. Free People Radio has a national audience, but we have a local political goal, and that's to change the culture of Minnesota, to root out the hatred and restore republicanism, where we love our neighbors as we wish to be loved, and where we have a commonwealth where all Minnesota citizens can prosper if they want to. I'll be right back. This is David Penn, your host this evening. Please stay tuned for these commercial messages.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, in the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently, stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently, cutting their heads off nonviolently, ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers. that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the Spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your host. Glad to be with you. This is the last segment I'll be with you tonight, and I want to change it up and try to suggest something that I think is important for our country. In the last segment, I was talking about the breakdown of relations between our peoples. We really do hate each other. I mean, come on. I mean, it's hatred. It's not sugarcoat it. I've been attacked many times now, and it's just something that's very unfortunate. And it's going to get worse if we don't make it better. So the question is, how are we going to make it better? And I look back through the course of time. I like to look at time, history. What can history tell me to reconcile the people of this country? Because the way things are going now, where one group's going to win and one group's going to lose, well, that's not a very good outcome, is it? That's not loving your neighbor as you wish to be loved. And we are convincing a lot of people, which is great, but that hatred is in our homes. Let's not think about Democrats and Republicans or left and right. Let's think about men and women and white and black and young and old. Divisions that bite. And I just want to read something to you, and you're going to say, man, this guy's getting religious, but I'm going someplace with this. This is Matthew 26. Those of you who know it, know it. And those of you who don't, it's a good first trip for you. Now, on the first day of the unleavened bread, that means Passover. We're talking about the Last Supper. When the book talks about the unleavened bread, they're talking about the Passover, which is a ritualistic remembering of the exodus of the Jews from Egypt, which is when the Last Supper had happened. It was already 1,500 years later. So to remember something for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years does take ritual. Now, on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? It's a big deal. You know, they're going, hey, Rabbi, where are we going to do the deal? And he said, go to the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared for the Passover. In other words, you just don't show up and pick up some Burger King. It's a ritual event. It has to be specially prepared. It takes work to make it holy and sacred, to make the Passover day different from the day before and the day after. Because after all, you're remembering when God himself and not an angel rescued the Israelites from slavery at the hands of the Egyptians. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And when you say reclined in the text, that's classic. That's classic retelling of Jewish ritual, because in the ritual it says you must recline. In fact, you're supposed to get a little bit drunk. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. It's translated bread, but actually it's matzah. It's the unleavened bread that the Hebrews took with them out of Egypt. There was no time for the bread to leaven. They yanked it out and took it out of the oven because it was time to boogie-woogie. And to this very day on the Passover, Jewish people all over the world eat unleavened bread. It's called matzah. That's what Jesus was eating. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he took a cup when he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It's kind of a heavy scene. We know it's a heavy scene because this is the body and blood of Christ, which is a ritual to this very day. And let us remember, and what am I talking about? I'm talking about hatred. I'm talking about people hating each other. Why do they hate each other? Well, let me just tell you, as a person who was brought up with this ritual, the central idea of the ritual is that God himself rescued the Jews from slavery. Well, that'll make you kind of thankful, won't it? I mean, Moses was an important person. Aaron was an important person. Joshua and Caleb played important roles. But the rescue, the liberation, was divine. Now, let's think about the civil rights movement. Do black people believe that they were liberated by God? Or were they liberated by men? And who were those men? Were they not in large part Marxist or communist influenced? Certainly in the academic today, the liberation of black people is taught in a Marxist frame. It was certainly taught that way when I was in the academy back in the 70s. I can only imagine how Marxist it is now. Marxism being the cudgel to be used to destroy an unholy alliance of hereditary rulers and corrupt religious leaders. Yes. One could say that, as I was saying in the last segment, one could say that Marxism is about economics. But what I think it's about is destroying the church, liberating people from the machinations of a corrupt church. Mike Tyson, devil doesn't waste any time on the lukewarm. The devil corrupts those that move the needle. That's why it's so incumbent upon us to put sin underfoot, lest we become corrupt. And who was involved in the liberation of women? Was it the Lord? No, women think it was the patriarchy that oppressed the women in the first place. You know, the Adamic curse? Because you've done this thing, you'll have pain in childbirth. You'll cleave to your man and he'll rule over you. Oh, the women. That's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? And then, of course, the men, hey, Nobody said that there was no rule book on how to be the sovereign of your family, and most men screwed it up. So here we sit with this tremendous hatred between black and white, men and women, and what we need to do is to come together to defeat this technocracy, Operation Matador. Why are they building these AI centers? They're not building it for our benefit. They're building it to control us. We know that. But how are we going to get a constituency put together big enough, strong enough, faithful enough to overcome these people? They're controlling all the institutions even to this very day. No, we got to learn. We got to learn. Why is Jesus talking about and giving us the new covenant at a Passover meal? Why is it called the Last Supper? That's called branding. No, that was a Passover Seder. What does the Seder remember? It remembers that God liberates people. Not Marxists. Not radical materialists. No, we need a ritual here in this country that ascribes to the Lord the protection of human rights, the protection of minority rights. This is what it is to be a Republican. And being a Republican, well, I don't mean the party. I mean the lifestyle of Republicanism, where I'm a sovereign of my own life, where I love others as I wish to be loved, the protection of minority rights, where I involve myself. I'm a giver. I'm not a taker. I give. And I believe in a commonwealth for all people. I need a mechanism to restore the glory of this philosophy. So tarnished has it become by all the materialists and non-believers that put on MAGA hats. I call them Democrats and MAGA hats. They're BSers. You know, like Michelle Tafoya running for Senate up here in Minnesota, pro-choice Republican. Very favorable to amnesty in some circumstances. Likes red flag laws, etc. and so on. Or Adam Schwartzy, the SEAL. We got a SEAL here. You got a SEAL down in Kentucky? We got one up here in Minnesota. I said to Adam one time, Adam, do you believe that the U.S. military should be deployed in the Middle East in defense of Israel? He goes, no, you know I'm a non-interventionist. I said, Adam, there's 600 delegates in the room. Why don't you go up and tell everybody that? He goes, that would not be a good electoral strategy. So Adam's lying to somebody, and the one thing I will not tolerate in my politics is lying. No, I may tell a lie by accident because I got bad information, but I will not lie by intent. I had to work at that, like we all do, to tell the truth. How do we rebuild this republic on lies? People want authenticity, particularly young people. They can smell a liar. They can feel a liar. They're not going to follow liars. They've been lied to all their life. They had enough of it. No, we need ritual back in our life. Let's just think about our elections. Our elections can't pass the SAVE Act, John Thune. Oh, great. You can pass all the crypto rules. Oh, no problem there. Broad bipartisan support. Democrats and Republicans coming together about the money. Just like they come together to fund the military. Just like they come together to fund the medical. Just like they come together to fund the Ukraine. Wherever the money goes from medical or military, you got broad bipartisan support. And you got $7.5 million per seat per year of lobbying money coming in to make sure that's exactly the way the deal goes down. So when we got Ivan and Stewart down in Kentucky railing about the influence of politics, of money in politics, and screaming about AIPAC putting $20 million and AIPAC-aligned donors putting $20 million into that race, as well they should complain. And I'm going to give you a blast, and I'm not carrying water for AIPAC, but what AIPAC puts out compared to pharma is a fraction. And I'm not saying they're not aligned. I'm just saying follow the money. and we can't have a SAVE Act. We can't have here in Minnesota our Secretary of State, our Attorney General. They're fighting the federal government, the Justice Department. They ask for the voter rolls. They want to see what's going on up here. Nope, they're fighting in federal court. They're fighting it. I mean, why would you fight it? Well, here's what they say, privacy. Hey, you know what? Nothing's private. We're living in the digital age. You got an Apple ID? And you think things are private. Ah, wake up. If we're going to get privacy back, we're going to have to work at it, which is another thing we're working on at freepeopleradio.com. We got an initiative called the Digital Freedom Alliance. I'm looking for millions of people to hold these elected officials accountable that we could be free digitally. Very easy to do. My digital data is my own. I want it trademarked and patented like a song that I wrote. Don't steal it from me. If I don't want to give it to you, you can't have it. And that's the end of their program. Can we get it? Not with the sellouts we got in Congress right now. Not with candidates that come up like Michelle Tafoya and Adam Schwarzy that are part of the machine. Of course, they all say they're outsiders. Every one of them. Until they get in. Then they do whatever leadership tells them to do. It's theater. The only way it will not be theater is if you get involved in politics in your backyard, hold people accountable, get your friends and neighbors and your family members involved, and have a holy awakening of what it is to be saved by the Most High God, to be rescued from slavery. And why would I ever want to be a slave again once I've been rescued? How dumb is that? That'd be like a dog returning to their own vomit. I'm not a dog, and I'm not returning to my own vomit. And I want you to be that way, too, and be firm about it. Yes, I'm a political activist. Come to freepeopleradio.com. Come tomorrow morning, please, at 7 a.m. on Rumble. Find Free People Radio. Follow me at Prof. Pan Podcast on X. On X, I need your help. Run cover for me. I need Overwatch. At Prof. Pan Podcast on X. I'm fighting with these people every day. I know I'm over the target because they don't like me. Because I try to tell the truth. And when they lie, I hold them accountable. No, we need new rituals. Okay. It's not that big of a deal. If these Democrats really wanted to heal the country, which they don't, or if we could get enough people into the political process, we would just have one day for voting, and it would be a national holiday. A national holiday. In fact, let's have 2 days off. Let's let the employers pay for it. And I'm an employer. I'm in the tire business. I fund Free People Radio with a tire business called TireGet.com. That's TireGet.com. It's an e-commerce tire company. I'd be glad to give my employees 2 days off, paid, 1 day to vote, and 1 day to recover. A ritual of American coming together. Hey, if I have to wait out in the rain for 5 hours, how cool would that be? Why are they making it easy to vote? It should be hard to vote. Things that are easy don't have any value. Things that are difficult to achieve, people value. We want to value our American citizenship. We want to value our human rights, our civil rights, our right to vote, our right to live in a republic. And what about this ritual? Why did Christ bring the new covenant at a Passover Seder? Well, because it was 15 years, 1,500 years. 15, we're 250 years old. Most of us don't know anything about the history of the revolution. And what a great place for you to start doing your educational research. Who are the people that fought to make this country free? What can we learn from them? There's nothing new under the sun. As a matter of fact, we're fighting the same imperial impulse that they were fighting. It's the same kind of organization of politics. Different people, same ideas. You either got a big government or you self-govern. It's very simple. It's not complicated. You want to self-government? Govern? The government's got to be really small. And yet every year, it gets bigger and bigger. As a matter of fact, $7.6 trillion this year is the size of the government, with no sign in sight of cutting it back. You think it's going to get cut back without your help? No. No, we got to quit taking and start giving. We're taking benefits we're not giving. It's very simple. Big government, no self-governance. You want to be free? Got to shrink the size of government. How do you do that? You give instead of take. It's very simple. Let's not make it complicated. And why did Christ give us the new covenant at a Seder meal? Because he wanted us to remember. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. He was reminding those stiff-necked Jews, the hypocrites. He was reminding them that God himself, not a seraph, not an angel, God himself freed the people from bondage. And that same story applies today. How to get free of this bondage is in those books. It's in your heart. You don't need to go to church. If you're going, that's great. But God sent you a comforter, just like he sent me. I'll restore your body whole for my work and your enjoyment. I'm doing the work. Would you please join me? I'm asking you to. And when we take the body and blood of Christ, I am being reminded that my freedom didn't come from man. It didn't come from government, from the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's not where my freedom came from. It came from the divine inspiration given to man by the Most High God. And if we're ever going to get this anger and resent resolved, because think about it, these kids go, I got five kids, I sent them all to university. They're taught about the patriarchy. They're taught about white people are bad. They're taught all these ideas that Marxists fill their heads with. Because there's no God in that school. There's no God in those Marxists. There's no way for forgiveness. There's no way for redemption. Just like the Chinese. They have no way to forgive us. They have no way to forgive us because they can't forgive themselves or each other. This is the fundamental difference that's going on in this world. There are people that understand forgiveness and redemption, and there are people that understand buying G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip down on Walmart on Sunday. Got two kinds of people. Now, spiritual people can understand making money, but the people that are only focused on money have no idea and do not believe in the world of the spirit. Well, we're going to show them how. We're going to fight for a ritual of a voting day. We're going to fight to bring our community back together. We're going to remind people that their freedom did not come from man, but came from God. And we got to do that every single day with every single person we meet, or this resentment is going to grow and it's going to tear this country apart. And we can pray for these people. But let's start with our friends and our family. Let's start with our neighbors and our co-workers. Let's remember that God has rescued us. He rescued us from Egypt. He rescued us on the cross. And when the time comes, he'll one day rescue us again. And let's prepare the way for him by being of goodwill, by being of soft hearts. I didn't say be used. I didn't say be hurt. I said by being forgiven. I think Christ was asked, how do you forgive these people that do these wrong things to us? He said 7 times, even 70 times 7 times. Be forgiven that we might be forgiven. And as we come into this election season, I thank God for the opportunity to talk to you. I thank God for the opportunity for you to listen to me. I thank God that the fight in Kentucky is raising consciousness around the world. I thank God that what just happened in England, so powerful, is raising consciousness around the world. We don't need to say we have to win today. I don't control the timing. I just control my prayer. The timing is in God's hands. The prayer is in mine. Know how to pray. Whatsoever I wish for when I pray, I believe I will receive it and I'll have it. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's very simple. A big government is the end of freedom. An empire is the end of freedom. Self-governance, small government. Give, do not take. Pray, and remember, love your neighbor as you wish to be loved, and that my freedom, your freedom, our freedom, this great country's freedom in its 250th year, its freedom is a gift from the Most High God, a creator who granted us unalienable rights, life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. I want to thank you all. This is David Penn, your guest host tonight. I hope you come over to Rumble, Free People Radio, and see me again tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F*** that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I just showed you coming. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.